and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone is having a terrific Thursday today. A lot of stuff going on, as it always is. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Oh, awesome. I'm doing absolutely terrific. It's beautiful last night. It rained last night, and so it really cooled it off. And I sat on the back porch and listened to classical music for a couple hours, had a blast. And so this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it, whether it's hot, cold, humid, or rainy. It doesn't make a difference to me. It's still the same. My attitude doesn't vary. I decided that a long, long time ago when I got saved that I would be basically praising God no matter what it was like. And guys, also, I want to thank you so much for the comments from yesterday's show. All of you who have my personal email address here at home, you have deluged me with the comments from yesterday's show. Thank you. I really thought it had gone well. I got to preach a little bit, which I love to do. I started talking about pastors who basically don't want to preach the truth from the pulpit and kind of got, you know, well, kind of, I felt that would be led by the Holy Spirit. And I thought the show went extremely well, so thank you. But I want to talk about something to start with, Austin, that you and I discussed a few weeks ago. Remember, we were talking about every time things start getting really good and things start going really well, they do a false flag. You know, when Donald Trump says, you know, we have pretty much won the war in Syria, we're now going to go ahead and pull out of Syria, and all of a sudden they stage a false chemical or gas attack in Syria for absolutely no reason at all. Assad's pretty much in victory for the whole country. And, of course, the United States comes in and bombs the holy living yak yak out of it, and so does Israel. And all of a sudden, it's like war's on again. Nobody's leaving anywhere. I mean, this is what's happening. And we said that if it gets too good in Syria and Assad starts getting too far ahead, it's going to happen again. Now we've had the information with what's going on with Rocket Man over there in North Korea and all the other stuff that you notice I haven't really talked a lot about. I want to see what happens with this summit that they had for the 2 hours, this two-hour meeting, to see if anything really comes from that before I start giving you my viewpoint on all this. But Russia right now, Zero Hedge, has come out and warned and said that credible information of impending staged chemical attack in Syria again, as the world's attention was focused from Singapore and a historic Trump-Kim summit this week. It's not a summit, it's a two-hour meeting, with broad media acknowledgement that Assad has won the war in Syria. Okay? Suddenly, hang on a second, my iPad just reset. The time could be right for some kind of major event to hit the globe's focus back to the war to get the military-industrial complex back on its feet again. Now in its seventh year, which could be slowly winding down, it seems to occur every time the Syrian army is on trajectory of overwhelming victory, an ill-timed and strategically nonsensical mass chemical attack on civilian, supposedly ordered by Mossad, inevitably giving the West an open door for military invention, new rounds of crippling sanctions, and yet more international media condemnation heaped on the baskets, and massive bombing and missile attacks from both the United States and from Israel. And this week, the Russian Defense Ministry has warned of just such a scenario. Russian Defense Ministry spokesperson Kashovsky said early in the week that the U.S.-backed Free Syrian Army forces are planning a serious provocation aimed at justifying a new round of Western coalition missile attacks against Syrian government bases and facilities. In other words, they're fixing to do it again. Yep. The statement was carried on Russian TV and subsequently featured in a One America news report, said that according to the information confirmed through three independent channels in Syria, the command of the so-called Free Syrian Army, aided by the forces of the U.S. Special Ops units, are preparing a serious provocation, false flag, including chemical agents again in Syria to basically get this thing going at full speed. Guys, how many times do we have to see this in the United States until we realize that these are just simply staged attacks to keep this war going through the military-industrial complex? I mean, we have to understand. So you guys have finished reading the rest of this article, but we're calling it out again right now here in June that Russia, again, is warning of another staged chemical attack in Syria to, again, reinforce the war effort there. What an unbelievable mess, Austin. What do you think?
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me this right now, but I mean, when we see what's going on over there, more than likely, you know, we're going to see more fireworks start again over there. There's no question about that. We've seen a lot of tension ease up with Korea now. We see that basically American manufacturing is starting to come back to life. You know, we see Trump really trying to push to get these trade deals back under control, to get these tariffs back under control. The employment numbers do seem like they're coming up, supposedly, from what we're seeing. Now, whether or not they're trying to fabricate those or whether they're really accurate, I don't know. But they do seem like they're coming up. We're seeing more factories starting, essentially, to reopen. We saw Obamacare, as far as at least the main aspect of it, with the individual mandate be taken away, which was, that was a huge aspect. We also see Trump just adamant about increasing border security with the National Guard, with the wall, with all that stuff. And also, too, we've seen numerous people get busted with the child trafficking rings, with these individual groups that have come up, with people on Hollywood. So there's a lot of stuff going on right now that's not in favor for the globalists. At the same time, the information war is starting to get very alive because of how much stuff we're talking about on a regular basis. So, as I've said this numerous times, as Dad just said, this right now is very, very important. We also have to look at, too, with the November elections. As we're looking right now, unless there is some massive, massive complications, and they basically just do all types of ballot fraud again, and they try to pull that stunt, it looks like the Republicans are going to be pulling off again, especially in a lot of states that they don't want them to be in. It's like with the Democrats already control. So if these things all start to go into play, I would expect something. As this is, but be prepared is why I'm saying this, not out of fear, but as a prepared mindset. Expect something to happen before the end of the year, really, really big again. If everybody is on their game and everybody stays frosty and all of our listeners stay adequately prepared with food, with water, with security supplies, and you have different contingency plans, A, B, and C, of different things that can happen, and you can kind of adapt to those as the situation occurs, in most situations, you're pretty much okay. You can handle almost anything that comes to you. It's the people that live blindly driving around, having no idea what's going on, working their jobs, living like they're in the Matrix, and when something happens, it completely and totally takes them off guard. That's who you do not want to be, and that's why we do this show, to wake so many people up. So, yes, after everything we're seeing right now, the same powder keg over in Syria nonstop, be prepared for something to happen this time, sometime this year. I'm definitely pretty accurate on that, Dad, as far as my opinion, because this is something they're not going to allow to keep happening, and we're starting to gain foothold. We're starting to actually push forward now with what we're doing. I mean, we even saw the Supreme Court ruling that the gay marriage garbage out in Colorado, that they basically overturned that. That they allowed the bakery to basically not have to pay these guys, and they ruled in their favor. That was huge. So we see a lot of positive things that's happening for us right now, which is good. It's a blessing. We're being blessed by God that we're actually being able to turn this around. But the globalists absolutely hate it when we do any type of things that are positive. So that's just why everybody's got to be prepared right now, Dad.
I agree with you. By the way, the Hungarian Prime Minister, quote, population replacement is underway in Europe. Speculators like Soros hope to profit from Europe's ruination. This is a pretty strong statement. Hungary's Viktor Orban has warned that another high tide of mass migration is approaching, and that the financial speculators like George Soros hope to profit from the ruination of Europe via the mass migration. I mean, right now there's basically tens of thousands of people that are heading into Austria, and they're actually bringing up the Austrian National Guard and everything else. The way these people come in, let me kind of give you a breakdown if you don't know the map of Europe very easily. A lot of them come through Turkey, and they also come through Greece. And, you know, I remember last year when I was in Greece, I told you about the huge population settlements that were out there in Greece that are going into Europe. Now, once they get into this European area here, into Bulgaria, Romania, Serbia, you know, into Bosnia, Croatia, Slovenia, Austria, Hungary, they come directly into Europe. And how they do it, when they're going from Turkey, they go through Bulgaria, Romania, and then through Hungary. Now, Hungary stopped that. They put a big quash down. They've got the razor wire up. They put a stop to it. Now, however, the routes, they also go from Turkey through Greece through Macedonia into Serbia, Croatia, and Slovenia directly into Austria. Those routes are still open. And of course, they're all going to Germany because of the blithering idiot Angela Merkel, who was raised as a hardcore communist, a hardcore communist in eastern Germany, raised as a complete and total communist. The third way they come in, they go in from Turkey through Greece through Albania through Montenegro and then through Bosnia, Croatia, Slovenia, through Austria and back into Germany. All three of the tracks going into Germany go through Austria. That's why Austria is setting up its National Guard, and they're actually acting as if their country is being invaded. The big problem that Austria has, a lot of these people aren't stopping you know, they're stopping in Austria. They're basically saying, hey, you know what we're going to do? We're going to stop in Austria. We're going to stop at these places where we can get free stuff. Because no matter where they stop on this route, it's better than where they came from in Africa, period. That's yep. just a fact, okay? Africa is horrible, what's going on in Africa. These different routes are called the Northern Route, the Balkan Route, the Southern Route, and this is basically, this is the three ways that they come in over and over and over again. Like I said, Hungary has stopped it. Now they're going through Croatia and Slovenia into Austria, and now Austria is preparing to stop it. Austria is the big choke point right now, Austin. If Austria can stop it, it'll force them to go through Slovenia and into Italy and then through Switzerland, and the Swiss are going to have no part of this. Of course, then it'd have to go through France and go around the other way. But the thing about it is, guys, this is horrible. And this is exactly what Gaddafi said. He said, if you take me out, he says, okay, you're going to have a huge tens of millions of people are going to be coming out of Africa directly into Europe because I'm stopping this tidal wave of migration. And he was right. And we took him out, and here we have it. And again, it's one of these things. They're doing it on purpose to destroy the demographics of Europe, and they're well on the way having accomplished that. What do you think?
Oh, they are. I mean, that's exactly what they're trying to do, because the aspect of it is they want to completely and totally dismantle the fabric of the European culture, the Christian culture, and every other aspect that Europe and the United States was built on. That's why they're doing this. There's nothing wrong with an African culture. There's nothing wrong with the Middle Eastern culture.
That's
the
right.
problem is those cultures do not intermingle correctly with other cultures. And that's to be with anything. You know, a Chinese culture doesn't do the same thing as United States culture. United States culture doesn't do the exact same thing as Russian culture. Everybody has their own different cultures. And one of the primary issues that we run into with the Middle Eastern and the African culture is the massive amount of Islam that is throughout those areas. And again, there's some people that are Muslims that you don't ever have a bit of problem with them. They never really do anything really harmful or Islamic as far as crazy with Sharia law. However, you do have a large subsect of those people, especially out of those areas, that are hardcore Islam fanatics. And the problem is when you take people with that type of mindset and that culture and you try to integrate them with a Christian European based culture, they do not intermingle. You can yell, you can scream, you can cuss, you can fight, you can throw things, you can pitch a big giant hissy fit on the floor and pout. It doesn't matter. It doesn't change the fact that those cultures have never integrated successfully in the history of the world. Has never happened. They've always been fighting with one another. This has already been done. That's what the First Crusade started about, was the massive amount of Muslim hordes that were basically in Europe. So this is something that isn't new to the United States. It's not new to Europe. What is new is having a giant, complete and total, idiotic open door policy pushed through Soros and Merkel and all the globalists to literally not only allow, but blatantly encourage and pay these people from other countries that don't share their values to infiltrate their countries and take them over. That's the irony about it all, Dad, is that it's not even just that these people are coming here and trying to sneak in and being clandestine and getting kicked out and sneaking back in. They've opened the door wide open to him and said, yeah, you guys can come in. Hey, when you get here, we'll give you 400 euros a month, and we'll give you free housing, and we'll give you a free cell phone, and we'll give you free health care, and we'll give you free transportation as far as mass transit systems like bus passes. Oh, okay. Well, why in the world would I not want to go do that? All being done systematically to completely and totally break down the fabric of Europe, and the same thing they've tried to do in the United States. The issue with the United States is they haven't been able to get nearly as many of them into this country because of the great water mass in between us. So they've had to fly them in, bus them in, transport them in. You see up in Dearborn, Michigan, areas like that where it's almost all Muslim now in certain areas. I mean, they have predominantly completely Muslim cities up there. Even the Muslim bells ring at prayer time. I mean, it's totally Muslim, completely taken over. Those are very, very small subsects of the United States. But if we allow them to continue what they're doing with the mass immigration that basically Obama had underway, it would have started to do the exact same here in the United States. And that's why I was so glad when Trump was so adamant about it and vocal about it. Whether or not it stopped completely, I don't know. But all I do know is that I'm not not seeing near as many issues and near as many reports as these guys being brought in covertly, even by the C-130 transports that we hear numerous people talk about. They were coming into public airports and walking them in, not even taking them through security, walking them out, you know, hundreds of people at a time, and nobody can figure out what's going on. Thousands, yeah. I haven't heard about those reports at all anymore, which is a good thing because maybe most of that has stopped for the time being because of how much flack everybody was getting with Trump pretty much calling everybody out. So we just got to keep an eye out and keep fighting the good fight, Deb.
Well, also, I got to say this again. This is really important. This is why they put Angela Merkel in power. Germany is a huge industrial country. It's like the third largest industrial country in the world. It has a huge trade surplus. I mean, it has literally hundreds of billions, if not trillions of dollars coming into the country from the manufacturing sector. When you end up basically driving on any of the highways in Europe now that go through Germany, you are completely and totally deluged with what they call LKWs, which are the semi-trucks. And it's dangerous. I mean, because these LKWs, is like most of the autobahns are three-lane superhighways, and they're supposed to stay in the far right lane unless they have to pass another LKW. And then they get into the middle lane. Well, in some of these areas, you have nothing but solid LKWs in the right lane and the middle lane. And then the high speed lane for the Autobahn is basically choked down to 20, 30 miles an hour if it moves at all. Now, I've seen this repeatedly. We left for Hannover from Bad Ernhausen a few years ago, and we were going to go stay in a hotel and, you know, get away from the relatives for a couple of days up in Hannover. And we ended up basically, it's a 35 mile drive. It took us 4 hours. It was a 4 hour trip to go 35 miles because the traffic had completely stopped and the semi trucks were completely blocking the road because they were all going to Bremerhaven for their exports. This is BMW. This is Volkswagen. This is Mercedes. This is Audi. These are all German made cars. You know, this is what they do. BMW. And so what ends up happening is they had a huge amount of money coming in, which wasn't allowing Germany to go into debt at all because of the trade surplus. In other words, it had enough money coming in from the trade surplus, it didn't have to continue to borrow money from the Federal Reserve Bank, Rothschild-controlled Bank of Germany. Now, guys, stay with me for a second. I'm going to tell you something very important right now with all this stuff. Germany was pretty much financially independent and wealthy. They had to use Cloward and Piven with Germany. That's why they had to bring a communist in with Angela Merkel. Angela Merkel is a hardcore communist out of East Germany. She was raised communist. She was raised in the Communist Party, and she basically is this hardcore socialist collectivist. And what she didn't want to happen, see, Germany became too prosperous. And because the Rothschild banking cartel controls the money supply, they weren't having to borrow huge, they weren't running huge deficits every year like we do in the United States to maintain the money supply. See, the reason we run huge deficits every single year to over trillions of dollars is because what happens is we have literally close to $1 trillion worth of, you know, of trade excess, so we have, you know, deficits going through our money. So the money is being taken out of the United States, which constantly strips us of cash because we're sending the money overseas. Yep. Germany had the exact opposite. And so they have all this money coming in so they don't have to borrow money. Cloward and Piven says if you have a social welfare system that overruns the doggone system of government, that you will basically collapse a republic internally, which is what they're trying to do to Germany. So if they bring in millions and millions and millions and millions of people, which they've done now, who don't work, who don't produce anything, who are in the social welfare roles, suddenly Germany has to start borrowing money every year like they did when they were having to reintegrate East Germany into West Germany. They're having to borrow huge amounts of money, hundreds of billions of dollars a year now, to feed these guys and to house these guys, to clothe these guys. And yet they won't integrate. They won't learn how to work for BMW or Mercedes. They only want to do jihad. They want to run around and rape the white women. That's why the one German politician says, this has been an abysmal failure. They won't integrate. We have gang-raping barbarian hordes that are coming into the country and raping our women. We thought we could force them to become a different culture than we do. This was done to Germany by Angela Merkel, who basically answers to the bell of the Rothschild banking cartel to cripple Germany to destroy their industrial might. Because now remember, as these Germans die off and they no longer are capable of working in the factories since they have a negative population growth, these Muslims and these immigrants who don't know how to flush a toilet are not integrated. There won't be a workforce to take their place. So they're bringing people back now that they're in their 50s, that have retired in 60s and 70s, into BMW, Audi, Mercedes, Porsche, they're bringing these executives back, asking them to come back because they can't replace them because they were so highly trained and technically, you know, savvy with what they did, especially the engineering base. This is what they had to do to Germany. Germany was the industrial powerhouse of the EU, and they had to cripple it. This is how they're doing it. Remember a couple of years ago when Greece was about to go belly up, the German people had to sign off on all the debt for the Greece. German people were stupid. They did it. Well, they didn't do it. The politicians did it. Nobody voted on it. And see, this is the problem that they do over and over and over again, Austin. They sign us onto all of this debt that we never accrued. But remember, when we're doing $50, $60 billion a year in trade deficits that are going coming into our country and our money's going out, it's constantly shrinking our money supply in the United States, which requires that we run deficits with the federal government of over $1 trillion a year to replace the money supply that we've sent away. Germany wasn't doing that. That's why this is happening. Oh, by the way, inside Casa Padre, this is from the Washington Post, this liberal rag, I wanted to read this. The reason I read it from the Washington Post is because a lot of people say the Walmarts are being converted for FEMA housing and for other things as far as for the New World Order. In Casa Padre, the converted Walmart, where the U.S. is holding nearly 1,500 immigrant children, Brownsville, Texas. For more than a year, the old Walmart along the Mexican border here has been a mystery to those driving by on the highway. In place of the Supercenter's trademark logo hangs a curious sign, Casa Padre. Okay? But behind the sliding doors, a bustling city into itself equipped with class centers and medical examination rooms, Casa Padre now houses more than 1,400 immigrant boys, dozens of them forcibly separated from their parents at the border by new Trump administration's zero-tolerance policy. On Wednesday, for the first time since the policy was announced, and amid international intense interest after a U.S. senator was turned away from inspecting the facility, federal authorities allowed a small group of reporters to tour the secretive shelter, the largest of its kind in the nation. Inside is what used to be a McDonald's. Shelter employees serve scores of mostly teenage boys, chicken, vegetables, and plastic fruit cups. In the former loading docks, children watched the animated movie Mona, dubbed in Spanish, where once again there was a garage, six young people played basketball. This is a Walmart that's been converted over to a detention facility. So when we tell you years ago that Walmarts are being converted into detention facilities, guys, here's the perfect example of what we've talked about. And Dave Hodges covered this story very, very well. Because, guys, this is a major problem that we have. Because a lot of these same kids now in these detention facilities are put into our Department of Family Services stuff. Now, the problem with that, with the Department of Family Services, we found that 80 to 85% of the child trafficking in the United States, internet nationally, is coming through child services. Now, think what I just said for a second.
Yep.
We're getting this huge group of boys and kids that are being dragged through child services that are being sold into sex slave rings and trafficked through the United Nations and other venues. And now we have groups of kids being taken away from their parents for absolutely no reason, as far as I can tell, here in Texas, in Brownsville, and being separated. And now what's going to happen to them? Well, if they don't get them out of there, they're going to basically end up going through child services. Guys, this is a major, major problem in the United States. And if we're not careful with it, it's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. We have to understand that, though. And here's the article I wanted to pull up. This is from, says, chilling report shows that 88% of missing sex trafficked kids come from the U.S. foster care system through Child Protective Services. I'm going to read part of this to you. Merrick has a dark secret that no one wants to admit. Talk of this secret, you'll get labeled as conspiracy theorist, fake news, and outlets who report on it will have their organic rage throttled by social media and Google alike, which doesn't matter to me. You guys already know that we're completely politically incorrect here. Despite the overwhelming evidence to the contrary, many in the mainstream media and the government refuse to see this very real epidemic of child sex trafficking in the United States. What's more, according to the government's own data, the vast majority of these kids are coming from the foster care system. Children are being needlessly ripped from their homes at such an alarming rate that hundreds of parents in one state have gone so far as to create a counter-kidnapping organization to stop it. As reported last week, a parents' rights organization filed a letter in federal court on Tuesday asking a federal judge to strike down Minnesota's current child protection laws for being too expansive, removing children from loving and safe homes without due process. This goes on to say that this group, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and part of the Missing Children's Assistance Reauthorization Act of 2013, received $40 million to study and track missing and trafficked children in the United States, and 88% of the kids were in the care of social services when they went missing. According to the most recent report compiled from an FBI center and one of their own, out of nearly 25,000 runaways, 1 in 7 were likely victims of child sex trafficking, and of those, 88% were in the social care system. Showing the scope of the abuse in 2017 alone, the providers report instances of suspected child sexual exploitation received over 10 million reports. Guys, you guys can read this article for yourself, and the name of this is Chilling NCMEC Report Shows 88% of Missing Sex Trafficked Kids Come from U.S. Foster Care. The article is written by Agorist, A-G-O-R-I-S-T. You can look it up and read the whole thing. I don't want to spend the whole show reading it. It's a long article. But this is a major, major problem that we have, Austin, that nobody wants to talk about. We know the United Nations trafficking children. They've been busted for it already. We know that the CIA is trafficking children. They've been busted for it and been reported for doing it already. We know that the 1,000 bases that are used around the world, basically these lily pad bases the CIA uses to run the children, to run the drugs, to run the money, to run the gold, to run the organs, are all being done right now under our noses through organized crime being supplied through by the CIA, which is being controlled by the Sabotean Kabbalist groups. I mean, guys, this is a major, major problem that we have globally right now, especially with Child Protective Services. I mean, and gosh, help you guys. If anybody ever has Child Protective Services called on them, regardless of if they did anything or not, the first thing you've got to do is get an attorney. I'm telling you that, guys. You've got to lawyer up immediately so you don't have your children yanked. Because a lot of times people don't even do anything, Austin, and their kids are taken away from them. And the Child Protective Services, depending on the caseworker that you get, it can be an easy thing for you to get through and basically be done with it, or it can be an absolute nightmare that they're going to drag you for years. So, guys, be really, really, really careful with your kids and do your best to avoid that Child Protective Services scenario and the foster care system. Austin, what do you think?
Well, you pretty much nailed it. I mean, anybody that can basically do a search and figure out what's going on, it's pretty easy to find out that, I mean, a significant amount of the children in foster care and in Child Protective Services get lost. They just lose them, just happen to lose them. And just Child Protective Services are becoming more and more and more aggressive every year with seizing children for no legitimate purpose whatsoever, with no type of violent history from the parents, with no type of significant threats, with no even given threats from anybody, simply based on some report or some phone call or something some nurse says at a hospital that tips them off, they immediately go in and seize the child. This is not done on accident, guys. This is done to intentionally continue to feed the Child Protective Service foster care system so they can roll these kids in and do exactly what Dad was talking about. Now, you guys, if you listen to my show on Friday on the Hagman Show, I talked in detail about the Walmart that the congressman tried to enter basically a week or two ago, and they basically did not let him do it. Now, apparently this week, as Dad just talked about as well, they finally let a group come in after all the flack that they got. I mean, it went viral online because this guy's saying, you know, I'm a U.S. sitting congressman. I can't go into basically an abandoned Walmart that Homeland Security is operating at to figure out what's inside and why you guys have, you know, basically unaccompanied minors that are here illegally inside. You won't even let me know what's going on. So the fact they let him in there is good. But as Dad just said, this shows you exactly what we talked about, that the reason why they shut down almost a dozen Walmarts across the country wasn't by accident. It wasn't because a pipe got broke in the back section and they needed to do plumbing updates and repairs to the building. That was one of the stupidest lies you could ever try to push on the American population, to say somebody as successful as Walmart is going to shut down lucrative, cost-effective, money-producing facilities because there's a pipe issue, and then they just shut them down indefinitely. The scary part about this, though, guys, is if they can do this so covertly that nobody even really knows about this facility, or it doesn't even hit the media like it has now. It's been closed, I think, since 2015 is when they started closing these down. 16, 17, 18, three, almost 4 years that thing has been shut down. So now we're just finding out about it. How many more can they shut down, and how many more detention facilities can they open up, and how do we know they're always going to be used for illegal immigration? That's the issue I bring out to everything, guys. When they start setting up facilities like this, people go, oh, well, it's for illegals. It's for people crossing the border. Okay, I got that. Well, how do we know it's going to stay like that? How
That's
do we
right.
know that they haven't set these things up intentionally to be able to use them as a front for illegal immigration and then start using them as dissident camps, American citizens that are unruly, American citizens that decide they don't want to turn in their firearms, American citizens that are basically considered to be extremist or anything else they want to rule. You know what they call, you know, terrorists, you know, in their own country, Muslims in their own country in Afghanistan that are fighting the U.S. military. What do they call them? Insurgents. They call the people that live in their own country that are fighting the U.S. military that invaded their country under no pretext other than fake weapons of mass destruction, they call them insurgents in their own country. Do you guys think for a second? Yeah, and terrorists. Do you think for a second, guys, that if the tyrannical government completely comes forth and it does not try to rear or try to hide its ugly head and it rears its head and shows the world what it is, it's not going to deem all of us terrorists, all of us insurgents, really? So there's a reason why they have all these facilities set up all across the country. It's not by accident. Speaking of more tyrannical issues, the AMA, the American Medical Association, which in my opinion now is beyond corrupt. We talked about last year how they've lowered the levels of what your cholesterol needs to be, making them even lower so they can put on more statins. They've also changed the blood pressure standpoints now, where basically if you're over 130 over 80, you automatically have high blood pressure. You need to be on blood pressure medication. Now, the American Medical Association announced today, Wednesday, that it now will be backing and pushing new gun control measures, including banning and confiscating certain firearms. Now, why do you think the AMA is doing this in conjunction with the Obamacare, in conjunction with the pharmaceuticals, in conjunction with the giant, medical industrial complex that we've seen explode now across the country? And you want to know this. The measures, which the group has now called common sense, including outlawing not only the sale of what the group refers to as assault-type weapons, which are everything we've talked about before with the Democrats, you know, AR-15, AK, period, but also their possession, outlawing the possession of any firearms by adults under 21, a national gun registry, and requiring a license to own a firearm, and gun buyback programs, among a number of other proposals. The group also called for a ban on the possession of bump fire stocks, which you guys know they've already pushed that before. They go on to say that people are dying, blah, blah, blah. People are getting shot all the time. The gun violence is going through the roof. They say here the carnage of gun violence has become too routine experience. Everyday physicians are treating suicide victims, victims of violence and gun violence. The positions backed by the AMA are stricter than those backed by most gun control organizations, which have tended to shy away from calling for outright bans on the possession of any firearms. Chris Cox, who's the head of the gun rights group Institute for Legislative Action, said they should focus on their efforts on the 250,000 deaths due to medical errors every year. Why is that being talked about? How about the medical community's complicity in the opiate crisis that takes almost 50,000 lives per year? Why is nobody talking about that? Or the mental health crisis and the pharmaceutical industrial complex that results in over 50,000 suicides per year, with roughly only 15,000 to 20,000 of those being done with a firearm? Why is none of this being taken care of? The AMA should return to focusing on medical care and stop engaging in gun control politics. Now, there's a reason why, guys, a few years ago, medical doctors, when they'd come in and ask you questions, they would ask you if you had any firearms in the house. Do you have any firearms in your possession? Does your family have any access to firearms? How many firearms do you have in your home? this wasn't done by accident. They didn't do this because the doctor was basically a firearm expert and he wanted to have a discussion on you, on your antique firearms that you had in your possession that your great-grandfather handed to you. No, 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 that's not at all why they're asking that. They've built, and they've been working on it for years now, is a full-blown medical database. So they know everything you do, every medication you're on, everything you've done in the hospital, everything you've done outside the hospital. Because remember, when you fill out all those forms when you go in the hospital, most people fill those out very, very detailed. Everything you've done, everything you do, everywhere you go, everything you've had done to you, everything, blah, 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 whole nine yards. All that stuff is kept on record, guys. And
right.
Now when the inception of Obamacare came out in 2010 and they started making the whole entire aspect of the confidentiality basically go out the window, and they can start sharing this stuff with pretty much whoever they deem necessary if they consider it to be a security issue, this is where it's going now. And the fact that the AMA isn't talking about, like this guy just said, the 250,000 deaths every single year for medical errors, or the opiate crisis, or the pharmaceutical crisis, but they're simply demanding that we start having firearms confiscated and we start banning any possession of firearms under people under 21. This is the slow inching into full-blown tyranny, and it's being done on every single avenue, from the politicians to the media, through the puppet children that are brainwashed, through the American Medical Association. This is all coming together so that we're fighting not just one, not just two, not just three. We're fighting on 6, 7, 8, 9 fronts now with this gun issue. And the reason why is they do not want the American population having any ability to defend themselves when they pull the hammer, and they know it's going to happen in the very near future, and they don't want us to be able to do anything about it and be fully defenseless like they were in Russia, like they've been in Europe, like they've been in Australia, like they've been in Africa, like they've been in so many other countries, like in China, when they have a tyrannical government come out and do mass genocide. The population was never allowed to be armed before the genocide tactics took place from the government, Dad.
And you know, Austin, I normally wouldn't think it'd happen anytime within the next 20 years, but when you look at the Deagle report saying that by 2025, you know, 2/3 of the population of the United States is going to be gone, you kind of ask yourself a question. Since they work with a lot of government contractors and inside information, where are they getting this information from? I mean, what is the big genocide or the big kill-off or the big war, the big whatever that's going to take out 200 million people in the United States? What is that all about? And we have to think through that. By the way, thousands of children right now in the United Kingdom, UK foster care system, are being sold to pedophile rings for grooming for slavery. Okay, I mean, this is important that you guys hear. This is why this one guy who was basically put in jail a few weeks ago, he was exposing this. And he was exposing what they were doing and videotaping the trial, and they put him in jail. They said, now you're in prison, da-da-da-da-da. Because they don't want to talk about it. According to the growing number of reports, thousands of children are simply disappearing from the UK care system, the equivalent of our foster care, every year, and what is said to be happening to them is too awful to contemplate. On May the 7th, 2018, an article published in The Independent titled, "Hundreds More Children Farmed Out to Care Homes Miles from Where They Live, Despite Pledge to Cut Number," reported the number of children in the UK who were being sent to residential homes hundreds of miles away from where they live had risen by 64%. The Independent also reported last year that over 9,000 of these children who had been sent away to their homes had gone missing. 9,000 kids, guys.
Wow.
There's also been a surge in the number of sent away children going missing from their care homes, with the number of incidents more than doubling. Okay. Now, what's even more worrying is the fact that according to the report, Ann Coffey has stated that she will be arguing in parliamentary debate that vulnerable children who are sent far away from where they grew up are more likely to be targeted by pedophiles and drugs and gangs. The government promised to curb the growing practice of farming out children to homes that are sometimes 100 miles from where they live. These kids are being groomed and being basically raised to be basically whores and basically allow people to touch them. And you say, well, that's just absolutely crazy. I don't tell you that it's not crazy. I completely agree with you. It's absolutely horrible. But it seems that between 130,000 and 150,000 children, usually orphaned, abandoned, illegitimate, or just poor, were sent to live in foster homes and institutions in the colonies of Britain, including Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and southern Rhodesia, now Zimbabwe. In the last poll we have, which ended in 1970, at least 3,000 children were sent to Australia. And it goes into detail about how more and more of these kids are being groomed by these gangs to go into the sex slave business and being basically abducted. So guys, this is a major, major problem that we have in the United States and in the world. And now we know that the UN was busted a few years ago for trafficking children. Guys, if you're a parent, I know a lot of people don't have kids. I got that. A lot of people say, well, I'm never going to have kids. I don't want to bother you. This just doesn't affect me. I got that too. Okay. But here's the thing, guys. If you've got children and you know the love that a parent has for a child, whether the parent's rich or poor or indifferent or whatever, the vast majority of cases, that parent still loves that baby. These are still people's children that are being trafficked into these elite pedophile rings. Look what happened in Australia a few years ago with these kids. They were being hunted. They were being taken out in cages and hunted by these elite pedophile rings and shot and killed. Nicole Kidman's father was involved with this mess. He ended up fleeing the country. Then he was basically killed or whatever in another country. You guys can look it up. And this is, a lot of this is the Ninth Circle Satanic Pedophile Ring. Guys, this is a major, major problem that we have going on globally, and it ties right back to what we talk about all the time on this show on what these children are used for and the sacrificial networks that are used for these kids and stuff that I don't like talking about. So if you want to hear the whole explanation of this stuff, you can listen to the Hagmann Show for the first hour and a half, 2 hours from last Friday night. What do you think, Austin? Let's change topics. Let's go to some other stuff.
Absolutely. Well, and also in other news as well, this is interesting. The Sackler family, who are multi-billionaires just off OxyContin, they now, for the first time, are being targeted by a massive lawsuit for damages that knowingly caused with their products. Yesterday, the state of Massachusetts, filed a lawsuit against the multi-billionaire Sackler family over the role of their drug OxyContin and the way it's played in sparking one of the worst addiction and overdose epidemics in history. The lawsuit accuses the company, Purdue Pharma, and its heirs of spinning a web of illegal deceit, which fueled the deadly crisis in which America currently finds itself, according to Mara Heatley, Massachusetts State Attorney General. The suit named 16 current and former executives and board members. They said, as they reported, the lawsuit alleges Purdue deceived patients and doctors about the risk of the opioid OxyContin, pushed prescribers to keep patients on the drugs longer with incentives and kickbacks in order to push products longer, and aggressively targeted vulnerable populations such as the elderly and veterans. Their strategy was simple. The more drugs they sold, the more money they made, and the more people died. So they basically found themselves in a very, very, very bad lawsuit now for good reason. I did a report on this a while back ago as far as just the aspect of what had happened and the controversy behind the Sackler family and OxyContin is that they were actually coming in, and, you know, OxyContin is a controlled release opiate. It's not just like a normal dose opiate, like, you know, an oxycodone or a morphine tablet. Basically, most of those tablets have what they call about a 1 to 2 hour half-life. You know, once you take it, within about 2 hours, the dose you took, if you took 4 milligrams, 2 hours later, it's usually about a half of its life, meaning it's at 2 milligrams now, and then another 2 hours, it drops to that. Well, with OxyContin, it was known basically to be a extended release, making it about a 12-hour time release. Well, they did was they came in and they told doctors that the product basically did not have as long of a time release, that was basically just the motto that they sold with the product, and that customers and people that were on the prescription drug needed to take more of it to make sure it stayed effectively in their system for treating pain. So people were taking OxyContin on a regular basis and popping them essentially like Skittles and getting addicted to them, obviously, because they never even had the chance for the opiates to even leave their system. You know, if you take something like a morphine or oxycodone for a painkiller, as I just said, you know, you take a 3, 4, 5 milligram, within about 4 to 8 hours, the dose that's in your system is negligible. It's next to nothing. Well, when you take a 5 or 10 or 20 milligram OxyContin and it stays in your system for 12 hours, but you take another dose at 6 hours, that next dose that you took stays in your system for another 12 hours on top of the dose that you already had. So what you have is what is a buildup of OxyContin in the system that causes more and more issues with opiate dependency, because with opiates, you have to take more and more and more and more to get the desired effects, not just relieving the pain, but also the high. So people intentionally were having to take more and more to get the effects they needed. And at the same time, the Sackler family said, no, 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 that's not the problem with it. It's a very good product. You need to basically keep them on the product longer. It's an extended release, meaning
you need
to keep them on it for a longer period of time so it has the extended effects. And so people were on these products, you know, for a hurt back or for a broke ankle, and they're on OxyContin for 5 to 6 months. And all of a sudden, you've been on a controlled-release opiate that literally has never even reached its half-life in your body. It's always been at peak levels. And all of a sudden, at 6 months, they say, okay, bud, you know, you've been on this for a while. Your ankle's healed. You're good to go. We basically have to take you off this stuff. Wait, what? What are you talking about? I don't want to come off this stuff. I need this. No, sorry, you need to stay on it now. Oh, I don't know what to do now. Well, then what do? They go to the black market, and they start buying this stuff on the black market, because also at the time, too, the doctors back in the mid-2000s were paneling this stuff out, literally, again, like Skittles. You came in with a hurt back. You came in with a twisted neck. Oh, here's 30 tabs, you know, of OxyContin. Take it as needed. They come back in 2 or 3 weeks. They get more of it. And then a lot of people were getting it and selling it on the street and making even more money on it. And this really started the opiate pill crisis that we saw that later led into the heroin crisis that we still currently see when we invaded Afghanistan and increased their poppy, which was right around, you know, a couple tons, maybe, you know, 2 to 3 tons, that was it, to all the way now into 2016, it hit 4,600 metric tons, to last year with a record crop of right under 10,000 metric tons of heroin produced out of Afghanistan. And at the same time, we had an opiate pill problem in the 2000s that's turned into a heroin epidemic of proportions that we've never seen in any country before, and everybody wants to sit around and go, well, we don't know what happened. We need to basically make it harder for people to get pills now. We were only going to give them a 3-day supply of opiates. Now, if they've had back surgery, they only get a 3-day supply, and they got to come back for more to get a 3-day supply. That doesn't fix the problem, guys. It's not fixing the issue that's actually causing the problem, and that was making sure everybody had a long-standing amount of this drug and then pushed them into the black market heroin. So I'm very happy the Sackler family is getting sued. I hope, personally, I'll never wish ill will against anybody, but I hope these guys pay for what they did to the American population. They single-handedly, with their product, caused more opiate deaths from pills, in my opinion, in the early 2000s and late 2000s than any other family in the pharmaceutical industry as far as relating to opiate narcotics, Dad.
Okay, I'm going to say this again, and I felt something that's like a broken record. These people are cutouts of the Rothschilds. Nobody starts in, you know, selling a pill. They've got to have financing. Somebody's got to come in and they got to back them. Somebody's got to set up the distribution networks. Somebody's got to set up the pharmaceutical networks. Somebody's got to set up the manufacturing networks. Somebody's got to loan them the money to do this in order to become the largest production of these types of products, you know, in the United States. Somebody's doing this. And it all goes back to the international banking cartels that finance this expansion and use these people as cutouts. Somebody may have a good idea. I'm not talking about the Sackler family, but something else. Or they may have a good idea. They need to find somebody to promote the idea. And in turn, they keep their name off the records as far as owning the company. That's why when I read you last week about the companies that control the entire planet, the investment houses, three of them, including I think it was a Blackstone or whatever they are. I read it to you last week. They don't tell you who the principals are who own these companies. Their names aren't mentioned, and they're the Rothschild boys and the Rockefellers and these guys and the other cutouts that are being used. And so what we don't understand is this: who owns the Sacklers? Who financed the Sacklers? Who gave the ability of these guys to become multi-billionaires? Who helped them to enslave the population with opioids? Guys, listen to yesterday's show. I covered the Bible verses, the scripture verses, talking about the pharmakia and the sorcerers. If you can debilitate a person's mind and their body through drugs, you can enslave them very easily. That's what fluoride's all about. The IQ scores have been steadily dropping since the 70s in the United States with our children. When people don't think, or they can't think because their brains have been damaged, it's very easy to create a person who's a sheeple. It's very easy for them to say, okay, I'll do what you say. the people, they did it all the time with Stalin and with Lenin. When they would find people that they were taking off to shoot or whatever into slave camps or whatever, and they had the leadership come out and start saying stuff to the guards who were arresting them, they would shoot them on the spot. They wouldn't even, they would just kill them in front of everybody. Yeah. Then everybody else learned, shut up. Okay? This is what they do. They target. This is why when Stalin couldn't get his leaders and his soldiers and his generals and his doggone officers to do right, he had his almost his entire officer corps shot and killed. I mean, these guys don't play that game. They kill the people at whim. They don't have a trial. You don't get a trial by a jury of your peers. They just say, shoot him over there. And they take him over there and they shoot him. And you're like, but I didn't do anything. By that time, you got your head blown off. You didn't do anything, but now your head's gone, so it's over. This is how these guys act. These are all cutouts they use in order to further their goal of enslavement. By the way, Congress is proposing big changes to the National Organic Standards Board, and organic farmers are raising the alarm because they're wanting to make things that are not organic, organic. This is crazy. This is my article by Bats. The health-minded consumers knowing that organic label is something they can trust is of utmost importance, but now it seems that lawmakers are seeking to make changes to the National Organic Standards Board. And as you may suspect, these are the kind of changes that could spell disasters for organic food as we know it. This board was developed back in 1990 to basically watch organic produce and organic products. The organization is made up of 15 volunteer members that basically determine what standards need to be met. Now, Congress is planning to destroy, or are they planning to destroy? Here's the question. Destroy organic food as we know it. Congress has basically proposed two major changes to this board, changes that would ultimately weaken the power of the board, if not render the board obsolete entirely. As Civil Eats reports, Congress would, for one, allow employees of organic farmers and producers to be permitted to have board positions. And secondly, Congress has proposed they begin allowing politicians to sidestep the authority to approve substances such as fertilizers and pesticides used in organic production. In other words, they're going to bring the guys in that have poisoned the land and poisoned the planet with their pesticides and chemicals to be part of the board to determine organic standards. Guys, this is going to change everything. Now they can say, by the way, we like glyphosate. I'm not saying they're going to do this, but we like glyphosate. You can spray it as long as it hasn't been sprayed in a year. You spray it with glyphosate, then you can plant it all and call it all organic. This is where it's headed, guys, because remember, they don't want you or me or our children eating organic food. They want us keeping the fluoride IV in our arm. They want us continuing to inject mercury. You didn't listen to yesterday's show. Listen to yesterday's show. And aluminum for immunizations. They want us to continue doing that. They want us to continue to eat the junk food, the garbage food, the trash food that causes debilitation of the mind, weakens the body. This is what they want. Not only are they spraying us with Morgellons, spraying us with smart dust, spraying us with all the stuff that we're inhaling, they want to continue the degradation of our immune systems, because what happened is God made us so resilient. If we have enough vitamin D3, and they've been working on trying to regulate vitamin D3 as far as its sale, because they know what it does for the immune system. If we can keep enough D3, potassium iodine, vitamin C in our system, start coming down with something, you use astragalus and use other types of products that are really good herbs, you can maintain a really strong immune system and fight this stuff. Remember, when they find the Morgellons victims, in almost every single case, these Morgellons victims have heavy metal toxicity from immunizations, and this is where the Morgellons attacks the immune system. Guys, when your body gets filled with these poisons, it doesn't work real well as far as maintaining its immune system. This is an all-out assault on the immune system, because their whole goal through the Jason Scholars, as we've mentioned over and over again, is to reduce the population of the planet down to 500 million, which means they want to kill 7 billion people. And they're going to do it. They're going to find a way to do this, whether it's going to be World War III, whether it's going to be a massive, massive release of a biological agent or a nerve agent. They're going to find a way to reduce the population down, or it will simply be through attrition by allowing 1 in 32 children, boys now, 1 in 32 children or 1 in 22 boys in New Jersey now to have autism. Autistic children don't breed, and take a couple more generations to do it that way. But they're going to reduce the population and the IQ scores of the United States any way they possibly can. We know that fluoride reduces IQ scores. We know that mercury reduces IQ scores. we know that basically the whole language learning, the whole not phonics, but the other type of reading lowers IQ scores and mental comprehension and reading comprehension. They want us back to serfs, where we can't read, we can't write, and we can be useful idiots for them to breed in their little breeding tubes, whatever they want to do with us, to have a worker bee class to serve the elite through transhumanism. That's what they want. Bunch of sickos as far as I'm concerned. Guys, thank you so much for listening to us. Thank you so much for being part of the Health Master family. Thank you so much for getting your supplements through us. Thank you so much for praying for us. Thank you so much for just being here. I had the opportunity and distinct privilege once again of praying for all of you again this morning. I pray for you guys all of the time. And I ask that God continues to bless you and keep you, that his face shines upon you, that he's merciful unto you, that he grants you peace and prosperity and a long life. And guys, I thank you so much that you continue to support us and that you're born again and we're all brothers and sisters in the Lord. I love you guys. I appreciate you. Austin, go ahead and finish up the show. I'll do the write-up.
Absolutely, man. We do appreciate everything, guys. Thank you so much for all the support you've been giving us and spreading the show. You know, I've had a lot of new people email me. A lot of people have been calling us up at the office saying, you know, hey, we just started listening to the show. Somebody forwarded it to us. And we really appreciate that, because that's not only how we grow, that's how we get more people awake on what's going on. You know, I mean, that's the main goal that we started doing with this show, was to wake up more people and to try to get more people awake in the Patriot community so we can all make a difference. Like I said earlier, we're starting to move forward. We're starting to make some positive gains. We have to just keep the momentum of what we're doing, and we can't allow ourselves to basically be sold short because of false flags or lies or propaganda. We can't fall short to any of that. We have to keep staying on the straight and narrow and focus on what we know to be true and continue that race. So if you guys need anything, check us out at healthmasters.com. We have pretty much the finest, highest quality supplements in the world for you guys. If you need anything, you can give us a call at 1-800-726-1834. Everything, you know, we have all kinds of different sales on right now. The probiotic, 100 billion, which is a huge product, very effective product, 100 billion colony forming units per capsule. It's on sale right now for over 10% off, one of the strongest probiotics you'll find on the market, especially for that price. And of course, we have a brand new set of products that you can go vote for on the website at healthmasters.com for the product of the week, including the new Vive restorative scalp cream, brand new batch of beef jerky from our Toby's New Zealand beef jerky. So lots of stuff on the website going on right now. Be sure to check it out at healthmasters.com. And again, guys, we really do appreciate the support and everything you continue to do for us on a regular basis. The really great comments on the orders, the emails, they're all great. They really help us out and really keep us motivated and trying to do the best we can for you guys. So we love you. We appreciate you. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.